I didn't finish my sermon last Sunday morning. I decided I'd finish it tonight. We talked about the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of them, and we only dealt with about three of them in our study Sunday morning. But there's one that I really wanted to talk about, and we just simply ran out of time before we could get to it. So I want to talk about it tonight. And I wish that we had the whole congregation here in order to hear this one. But maybe we can take it to them on an individual basis. We'll see. Open your New Testament, if you will, to the Gospel according to John. Chapter 4. Gospel according to John, chapter 4. The setting for what we want to look at and for the spiritual blessing that we want to consider, Jesus was talking to that Samaritan woman at the well. You remember the account. And she talked about where her folks worshipped in this mountain. Jesus told her that she didn't know who or what they worshipped, but the time was coming. And it was almost here, if we follow the teaching, that the time was coming when God would search or seek certain ones to worship Him. Isn't it a great blessing indeed to be one of or a group of those that God wants to worship Him? He said those that He is seeking to worship Him would worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, this separates a lot of folks from a lot of folks if we give it its due consideration. The true worshiper. Now, that identifies who? True worshiper. Can anyone really, truly, honestly worship God who are not His? Remember what we read over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, 10 and 11? That there was a time when there were certain people that God didn't claim. But they had to receive the mercy of God through their obedience to His gospel in order for them to be His children and therefore His claim. So who then would be the true worshipers of God? Those who are not His? Well, that's not reasonable, is it? So in order to be a worshiper, a true worshiper, one has to worship God on the basis of the conditions that God Himself has set forth. Worship in spirit and in truth, Jesus said. Well, now, do we understand what the word spirit means? Surely we understand what the truth, word truth means. Jesus tells us in John chapter 17 and about verse 17, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. So the word of God then is truth. So the true worshiper will worship God according to the truth that God has set before us. Now see where the separation begins. By nature, man is a worshiping being. He's going to worship something or somebody because it's just natural for him to do it. It may be his golf clubs. It could be anything that he would give his attention to rather than the true and the living God. He's going to worship something. But Jesus is talking about a true or the true worshipers. True worshipers have to worship God according to what God planned that worship to be. In spirit and in truth. The truth then has to be the Word of God. So if God didn't say it in His Word, He's not going to say accept it as worship. Look out through the religious world and what they do in their, what they call their worship. And you will find that they do many things that God did not call for. Are they true worshipers? Not unless they worship according to the truth. They are not. And if they are doing many things for which there is no divine authority, then they're not worshiping according to truth. Therefore, they cannot be true worshipers. God will not accept their worship. But then he says that it must be with the right spirit. True worshiper will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit comes in relation to the truth, the Word of God. So he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about our individual spirit. Well, what is our individual spirit anyway? Well, it happens to be our attitude. We've got to have the right attitude when it comes to the worship that God will accept. Now it's known that there are some who attend services just to associate with other people. That's their purpose of coming together supposedly to worship. Is that the right attitude? Is that the attitude that God will accept as worship? No. That doesn't match what the Holy Spirit says in the truth, does it? We have to have the right frame of mind. That's the attitude. And so why then do we worship God? Well, God tells us why we ought to worship Him. And if we're true worshipers, we will worship Him. Turn with me over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And he gives us an idea, beginning about verse 24, what a true worshiper is going to do when he worships in truth. And this is what the writer said. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So if our attitude is what it ought to be, the truth tells us that we are to consider one another, be concerned about one another. We have a responsibility one to the other. But I'm afraid that there are a lot of folks who will come to the assemblies caring less about somebody else or others. Is that the right attitude? The right frame of mind? Does that agree with what we just read the truth to declare? But that's not where the instruction ceases. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And if we don't do that, what does the next verse say? For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. All right. Now Jesus tells us, or God tells us, by the truth, what we must do in order to please and to serve Him or to worship Him. We must assemble. Well, we find a lot of folks don't do that. Look about us tonight, for an example. I don't know where they are, but I do know they're not here. God says to assemble. When are we to assemble? Well, there's only two times where God specified when we are to assemble, and that being upon the first day of the week. But then somebody will say, well, if we only attend one service on the first day of the week, that'll take care of it. Because God didn't say we had to meet two times on the first day of the week, and He doesn't say we have to meet at any time during the week. Well, He didn't specify, but He did declare by virtue of truth that those who make up the congregation are to be obedient unto those who have the oversight of that congregation. And what are they commanded by truth to do in having the oversight? preach, teach, lead, guide, direct, care for, serve. All of these are commanded of those who have their oversight over a congregation. And the congregation must assemble in order, pardon me, to receive the benefits or the blessings that comes as a result of this. Caring one for another. Encouraging one another. When are we going to do it? Only on Sunday morning? You know, God didn't even say on Sunday morning. He just said on the first day of the week. Who sets the hour? Well, that happens to come as a responsibility of the oversight of the congregation as to who sets the hour. But God wants the true worshipers to worship according to the truth. So what do we do when we come together? Well, we're told here in this passage that we are to consider one another and we are to exhort one another. We do that in every assembly. Over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we are encouraged or we're commanded that we are to sing. What do we do in our singing? We admonish and we encourage one another. When do we do that? Virginia and I sing at home, we pray at home. Are you being encouraged, built up, strengthened as a result of that, and you don't even know we're doing it? Come on. We come together. That's when we know what we're doing to be an encouragement to somebody else or to be encouraged by somebody else. What a great blessing indeed it is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now we talk a little bit about the attitude of the true worshipers, but again we're going to run out of time. But consider the fact that we must have our mind where it ought to be when we come together to accomplish what God says we must accomplish in our assembling together. Must be concerned about others. We must admonish one another. Engage in the worship, the singing, the praying, the teaching. That's the way we encourage and admonish one another. And really, three times a week is not overdoing it. Consider what those in the first century did. After the establishment of the church, remember in Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. How often? Every day. Every day. Do you suppose God was not pleased with that? I'm persuaded to believe He was pleased with it. Because His cause grew as a result of it. So He must indeed have approved them as worshipers in spirit and in truth. Well, that's a glimpse of that great blessing that is only in Christ Jesus. Now you may assemble and not worship at all. But I trust that the seed has been sown that will help us to have a greater desire to assemble and accomplish what God would have us to accomplish in our assembly toward one another. But even that calls for something more. Praising and glorifying Him. So we must not leave that out. So you see the purpose for our coming together to worship and serve Him? There it is. If you're not a child of God, and I think everybody in this assembly is, but should you not be, and I do not recognize you, you ought to be a true worshiper of God, then you're going to have to do it His way. You're going to have to be where the true worshipers must be, and that is in Christ Jesus. And we talked about that in business Lord's Day morning too. In Christ Jesus. Because those who are out of Christ Jesus, God doesn't know. Jesus even said, you remember in Matthew 7, verse 23 and 4, when there were those who called upon Him, Lord, Lord, and they claimed that they did many wonderful works, they cast out devils and so forth in His name, and what did He say? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. So if we want to receive the blessings of being known by Christ, we must serve Him, though we have to be in Him to do it. Obedience to the gospel puts one in Christ. Because when you obey the gospel of Christ, you're baptized into Him, and He adds you, remember, to His body, which is the church. He makes no mistakes. He doesn't add you to the Baptist church. He doesn't add you to the Catholic church or to the Mormon church. He only has one. That's the church that belongs to His blessed Son, Jesus the Christ. So if you want to be added by Him to that church, then you're going to have to do what He calls upon you to do in His gospel. If you're in Jesus Christ, but you have been derelict in your responsibility as a true worshiper, can you not see the danger that puts your soul in? That you need to have a great, serious interest in the cause of Christ and in serving and pleasing God in order for those spiritual blessings to be of any benefit whatsoever to you. So if you're not what you ought to be in Christ Jesus, you need to do some very serious thinking. You need to do some repenting and praying God to forgive you and then get on with proving yourself as a faithful, true worshiper of God. We're going to sing the song that has been selected as a song for your encouragement. So if you're subject to the gospel in any way, we encourage you to take the advantage of the now, because that's all the time we have. So right now, as we stand together and sing,